And it's a sweet, sweet sound. But prayer is also one of those things that is a sweet, sweet sound in the ears of our Heavenly Father. He loves to hear His children cry out with neediness and also with expectation and joy. And as we continue our sermon series, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. That was the question asked of Jesus by His disciples. And it's the same question we as disciples should be asking today. Lord, how can we pray in a way that exalts You? And we've been using this picture of a road trip because that really does give us a good picture of what prayer's like. It's like getting in a car with God. God's the driver, and He is in charge of both the destination and the route to which we get there. And prayer is all about learning the heart of our Father and learning to pray His will, not ours, and so that He can answer and He can advance His kingdom for His own glory. Well, this morning I would like to kind of focus in on a couple passages. And these passages are teaching us this morning that a vibrant prayer life needs both discipline and delight. Depending on what kind of person you are, you may drift to one or the other. You might say, I have a very disciplined prayer life, but maybe what you struggle with is sometimes you feel like you're just going through the motions. You're just going through a formula that it's not real, it's not personal, it's not authentic. But perhaps you say, when I pray, I feel so close to God, but my problem is I just don't take regular time to do it. So I feel my heart drifting from Him. Well, no matter what may be your struggle, having both sides of this coin is so important. Both disciplining your prayer life to have a regular, prepared heart time with God is very important. But it can never become just an activity we do. It has to become a conversation with God. It has to be filled with joy and delight. It has to be drawing near to the heart of our Heavenly Father. We're told to pray without ceasing, but to do that, we have to develop these godly habits of prayer. And these habits form through both discipline and delight. Delight sort of gets you to the table because you love God and you want to know Him, it gets you there. But it's actually discipline that keeps you staying near the Father, pursuing Him, growing in your relationship. It keeps us from drifting away from God when we get busy or get discouraged. The truth is every real Christian wants a personal and powerful relationship with God, and prayer is how we do that. Now, prayer needs the Word of God, and the Word of God needs prayer. Often I find that there are people that maybe when it comes to devotions, they really like Bible study, but maybe they struggle a little bit more with prayer. Then there's others that really enjoy prayer, but perhaps finding consistency in reading the Word of God is where they struggle. But it's important to see that both of these are very important, just like duty and delight. Or we can say discipline and delight are important, so is having prayer and the Word of God as two sides of the same coin. Because the Word directs and informs our prayers, but then our prayer empowers the Word of God in our life. So if either one of those are missing, then you're not going to have a vibrant prayer life and a vibrant relationship with your Heavenly Father. So we need both of these. So we're going to look at some maintenance schedules, some practical principles for prayer, and I had intended and on also ending this series today with looking at some check engine lights, looking at some diagnostic tools for our hearts, and then dealing with how to pray when it gets difficult. But I'll be honest, I've been struggling with a cold, and I think my energy level is not going to allow me to preach this whole message. And so I think we're going to probably have to break it up into two messages. I appreciate your patience in that. And so let's look at a couple passages. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 4. I do have it up here, and we'll look at some other passages as well. But Colossians chapter 4 reminds us to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, I love, toward the end of many of the Pauline epistles, these are letters that Paul wrote to churches. It's the word of God inspired of the Holy Spirit. He often, as he's giving at the end of his letter, some different principles to guide our spiritual growth, he mentions prayer. And this is one of those. At the end of Colossians, he says, listen, continue earnestly in prayer. Be passionate about prayer. And then be vigilant or watchful in it. And don't forget about thanksgiving. So that's an important balance that it maintains. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, he's doing the same thing. He's giving them some principles about prayer and reminding them the importance of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we're to have a spirit of joy as we continue to pray and give thanks to God. And so let's look at some maintenance schedules for our prayer life. Now, you know what a maintenance schedule is. If you don't, you may have a problem. Because when you purchased your vehicle, hopefully if you purchased it new, certainly you had one. But if you purchased it used, like I have always done, then you hopefully have been given the manual for your vehicle. And that tells you all kinds of things like how to work your windshield wipers, and very valuable information, how the radio works and all those things. But as part of that, usually at the back of that manual is going to be a maintenance schedule. And it'll say something like this. At 5,000 miles, do these things. And it'll say, you know, make sure and change your oil, look at your air filter, those kind of things. And then it says at 10,000, 15, 20, 25, then you know when you're supposed to have your transmission serviced. And you know what kind of even oil to use. Well, I kind of want to use that as a way of looking at, just like to maintain a good car, a good vehicle, in order to have a healthy prayer life, there's some habits that you need to form, some regular things that you need to put in your life. And I know when I keep track of my vehicles, I actually put everything that I do to my car so I can look back and say, hey, did I do the 30,000-mile service? Did I make sure and change out that air filter? Wow, what time is it that I need to do a coolant flush? All those things that are no fun, cost too much money, but have to be done if you want your car to work. And what happens is it usually breaks down at the worst possible moment. What is that thing called, a serpentine belt again? And why was I supposed to change it at 100,000 miles? Because at 120, it broke and left me stranded at the side of the road, right? And so oftentimes, even in our prayer life, it's not until we start seeing that there's something really wrong in our hearts, something really wrong in our lives, we say, God, I'm really struggling here. It's not until then that we realize that there are some habits that we have not formed along the way that help prevent us from drifting. They keep us close to the heart of the Father. Remember, God doesn't drift from us. We drift from Him, and maintenance schedules can do that. So notice that there's a balance to these passages. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, right? When he says continue earnestly in prayer, he's saying to be devoted to it. One person said we can translate that being courageously persistent. Vine says give unremitted care to it. In other words, make sure it's something that you're constantly looking into, something you're constantly aware of. So we're to be watchful, be vigilant, watchful. Literally, the term means to stay awake. You ever fall asleep when you're praying? Well, if you do, just remember the disciples did at a pretty serious point in their following of Jesus. On the night in which he was betrayed, it says, they kept on falling asleep. But God wants us more than just not to drift off in our prayer. By the way, that can happen. I don't know about you, but it seems like whenever I go to pray, the devil wants to get me thinking about everything else under the sun instead of God. That's okay. Stick with it, be persistent. What you'll find is that as you set aside regular time and train your mind to focus on God, you will actually, it'll get easier to keep your focus. Now, there will always be those times when you have a lot of things going on in your heart. Maybe there's some difficulty. Maybe there's a prayer request you have, and it's just you desperately need to see God work. And those keep on coming up, and so you're trying to pray, and things kind of assault your attention. That's okay. That's okay. Just be persistent. Keep on looking to meet with God, and he will meet with you. So let's look at some principles on how we can do this, okay? First of all, and this is going to be a pretty practical message, okay? This is a lot of, this is how you can do it in real life. I think certainly there's an attitude of prayer when the Bible says to pray continually. There's a sense in which we should be constantly calling out to God all day long. Even on your job, perhaps you're going through the day and you're just saying, Lord, I'm about ready to speak to my boss about this. God, give me the words to say. Give me wisdom. It could be you're about ready to do a job that's really difficult and you're thinking, Lord, I want to make sure and get this right. Lord, just help me. Lord, I need you. I think it's a great practice to get up first thing in the morning and just say, Lord, I can't even put my feet on the floor today. I can't do a single thing unless, God, it's your power that does it. I need you to develop that sense of, God, I don't want to do anything, not even get out of bed, unless you are helping me every step of the way. That's certainly an attitude. But there needs to be time of focused prayer. Pray throughout the day, but then have some focused time where it's just you and God. Something I've noticed, and my wife and I have this discussion, you know, most of our kids have flown the coop. They, you know, left the nest. We have Ashlyn back for the summer. By and large, our life is lived with just Sherry and I. And it's easy to say, well, Sherry and I are together all the time, so we're just like on a 24/7 date all the time. And then I've realized that is not the same as a date night. And I say, but we do everything together. It's just us. And what I'll begin to notice is that there's, you know, as we're communicating, it seems like there's some barriers in our communication. It's like, hey, you know, I'm not sure. I think I came across the wrong way. And then I was like, wait a minute. When was the last time we just had a focused time with just her and I? Not taking care of business, because, you know, you come home and you eat dinner and you're like, okay, we have this on our schedule and we've got to do this. We have to coordinate the cars and we have to do this and this. That's not the same as having real time with your wife. I have found that out the hard way, right? So I'm a slow learner, but usually I do learn. And so we realize that, no, you still need that time where it's just Sherry and I communicating heart to heart and really drawing near. And the same thing is true with your prayer life. Yes, you should pray your way through the day. That's wonderful. But you also need real focus, nothing, everything else pushed aside, just me and God talking, and here's key, and you listening. So we're not just talking at God, we're talking with God. So people don't usually plan to fail. They just what? Fail to plan. That's right. They don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. Now, the truth is we plan out our days. We use calendars. I mean, I've got my whole life on my phone, right? It tells me I have a calendar, and it lists everything I'm supposed to do. I have my to-do list on it. I have my calendar. And if you knew, I think I have about 7 calendars now. I've got the church calendar, I've got the leader's calendar, I've got our shared calendar, my personal calendar, a calendar of birthdays, and I have to keep track of all these things. So on my phone, you see all these color codes of things that are going on. And it's basically saying, hey, Jeremy, you have a plan for today, a week, a month, and sometimes as far out as a year, right? So if you want to go on vacation, is it probably wise to say, you know what, we'll just wait till the day before and then we'll make all our plans and everything should work out just fine? Well, not at all. If you're traveling, some of us have seen that in the Southeast right now, they were having a bit of a problem with gasoline shortages because of some Russian hackers, is my understanding. And my daughter was actually flying this weekend into Atlanta. And I say, honey, you better call and make sure that they have gas to come pick you up, because according to what I'm reading on the phone, about 42% of the gas stations don't have gas right now. So she had to plan ahead. But she purchased tickets well in advance, but even then there were some last-minute things. Now imagine taking a major trip someplace involving a lot of different activities and saying, ah, we'll just wing it. Now sometimes you can wing a short vacation and just kind of, you know, go with the flow, but usually if it's a big vacation, what do? You plan for it, right? Do you plan to get up in time to go to work? I hope so. You set your alarm. We plan for all kinds of things, right? It just makes sense. You want to take vacation? Well, you better go to your boss and say, hey, can I have this week off? And if you don't ask early enough, they might say, oh, I'm sorry, we already have some other people that requested that. You can't. And failure to plan might mean that you miss a bill and your light gets turned off, right? Your car gets repossessed because you missed too many payments. Some serious consequences. But you know what? The worst that may happen in those is, well, your vacation plans, they fall through. Maybe you're late to work and you get a reprimand by your boss. Maybe you have to real quick run over and give a check to the light company to make sure your lights get turned on by the end of the day. But you know what? Think about the consequences spiritually when we don't plan to spend time with God. And pretty soon, it gets further, the time spent with Him gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and we drift further and further and further. And before we know it, we've got all kinds of real serious spiritual issues because we haven't planned. The truth is we're planners by and large. The fact is we also need to plan our prayer time. So failure to plan for prayer means you might sacrifice real intimacy with God, real power in your life, real rest in your soul, the privilege of God doing great things on your behalf. So this is way too important just to fly by the seat of your pants. It's super important. And the fact is, as many of us say, I'm too busy to pray. I offer, you're too busy not to pray. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther, who, if you read what he did as far as writing schedule, preaching schedule, this guy was an incredibly busy person. He said he was so busy that he needed to pray for 3 to 4 hours a day. Incredibly busy person says, I'm so busy, I need to have that time with God if I'm going to be able to really minister to people. And let me say this, and this is something Caleb shared with me recently, and it was really, really powerful. He said that he was thinking about having his personal devotions, and he was saying, but you know, sometimes we think that if I do, I have to sacrifice time with my wife, or I have to sacrifice time with other people that I love, friendships. Or he says, and after we have children, you might think that, well, you know, I want to spend time with my children. I don't have time to spend in God's Word. And this is what he said. He said, those relationships are so important that they need you to be close to Christ. They need you. What your spouse really needs is for you to be in the Word, so that when you spend time with her, it's actually helpful. What your kids really need is for you to spend time in the Word, so that when you do spend time with them, you can train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The fact is we're too busy not to pray. So we need to plan our prayer time. Set aside specific time. You, in your calendar, in your schedule, say from this time, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to spend time in prayer with God. I'm not going to leave it to chance. Now, whether you do that in the morning or the evening, or even better yet, morning and evening, that's up to you. And I would just submit that whatever time that you're most alert and can give the best attention to God, if you can do that better in the evening versus the morning, then I'm all for it. The key is you just spend time, choose time, set it aside, make it specific, put it in your schedule. You see, prayer doesn't offer you a less busy life. It just offers you a less busy heart. That's Paul Miller. And that sounds a lot like Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're all busy, but the fact is people who don't pray, their heart feels anxious and overwhelmed. And people who go to God in prayer, God strengthens and empowers them for the day. And here's the amazing thing, is when I spend time with God, I just get my responsibilities taken care of. He supernaturally helps me. And if I don't, there have been times where I say, God, I just have to hit the ground running today. And it just seemed like I couldn't get anything done. Well, God knew that my heart wasn't ready to really take on the task of the day. So not only should you plan it, but you should prepare for it. What do I mean? Prepare your heart. We've gotten so good at multitasking that we find it very hard to just focus on one thing. But let me tell you, in prayer, don't multitask. Focus in on God. Sometimes when my children were little, daddy was doing something. Maybe I was working on a project, and they would come up, and they would start talking to me, and they're like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And finally, they're pulling on my pants leg, and they're like, "Daddy, look at me." And what they wanted was my undivided attention. They wanted to know that with my eyes locked on theirs, that they had my full attention. And can I say this? That's when I was really able to listen. When you listen, and I'll admit, I'm not the greatest multitasker in the first place. I tend to be a one-person-at-a-thing kind of guy. But if we're trying to pray while doing other things, it just doesn't work well. What Christ really wants is your undivided heart. What your Father, Heavenly Father, wants is your undivided attention. Intimacy takes single focus. You can't just get to know God on the fly. I mean, sure, there's times in which you may have to offer up quick prayers, but that's not how we build a relationship. You can't build a relationship on sound bites. You can't be... In a room and kind of talking at someone and expect to build a real relationship. It takes undivided focus. And that's what it needs with prayer. So prepare for that time. Give him your undivided attention. I mean, Luke 5:16 says that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You ever think about that? Jesus often withdrew in order to pray. Well, if Jesus, who had the Father's resources at his disposal and had a unique, special relationship with the Father, needed undivided attention with the Father, I'm guessing you probably need it too. If Jesus the Savior needs it, I'm sure you do too. John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Now listen, if you expect God to do great things in your life, and you expect God to do great things through you in the lives of others, then it's going to take some undivided time with God. You give God snippets of time, and what you get is snippets of power. But you give God your undivided focus, and watch what God begins to do in your life. Look at the sins he begins to reveal. Look at the glory he begins to reveal in your heart. So you should prepare your heart, but also prepare your hands. What do I mean by preparing your hands? Well, that means finding good tools. Now, I'm going to come back to that protect your prayer time. I'm going to give a couple tools here. They can be very simple. Now, if you're old school, that's fantastic, because there are some very cheap old school resources for prayer times. I'm going to encourage you to keep a prayer list of people you pray for. And I'm going to encourage you to journal that. When God answers your prayer, put the time you started praying for something, and then put the date when God answers. And just keep a running total. When you see God answer them, you know, it's amazing. I've got a journal where years later, God answers a prayer. Years later. But I would come back and revisit that and keep on praying that thing, and seeing God answer that has been amazing. And you can get one of these for probably a dollar at the dollar store. And in that, the nice thing about one of these is you can tear out the page if you want to start a new list. Let's say you want to add someone to your list, you can put it right at the bottom of the list. But let's say you want to change your list. Well, that's fine. You can do that. You can just simply recopy it and just keep a list of family I pray for, church family I pray for, the leaders, the people I want to see come to Jesus. And just keep on praying. And a simple tool like this is very helpful. Our church has some additional tools that we've developed. Oh, it's right here in my hand. Okay. This is my journal. And yes, I know it's super old school. This is my God and I time. This is where I actually record my daily devotions. And after I fill them up, I set them aside and I keep on filling up. We have these pages. We even have small notebooks like this. It's not quite like this. It's more like a three-ring binder. But in here, we also have places to put your prayer list, your prayer time. I have here is an example of how to pray, 10 ways to pray for the persecuted church. So when I pray for the persecuted church, I've got tools. And in the morning, I pull out this one notebook, and I've got everything that I need. And I usually keep a pen in there, and I keep a thing to underline verses in my Bible. And you can keep your prayer list. Here's a prayer journal. You see some of these are marked out, meaning that God answered those. And I have the dates when he answered. And there, it's a blessing. But if you need one of these, we can actually give you. We've got a surplus of those. You can go with this, 3x5 cards. Maybe you like to say, hey, I like to do my prayer time when I'm driving. I have a 30-minute commute. You can get simple 3x5 or 4x6 cards with some names on that. And you just kind of glance at it, and then you just pray. You can look at it and says, hey, on the way there, I want to pray for family members. And you kind of glance at that. And here's the amazing thing is after you do that a while, you'll actually just think family, and you already know the names on it, and you'll just start praying for them. But actually praying, and then when you see God answer, you know how much joy you get? You're praying for a family member, maybe they're struggling spiritually, and you're praying, and all of a sudden you see God start working, and they start coming to Christ, and really growing spiritually, and that is a joy for you, because you called out, and God, your God answered you. I'm telling you, what a tremendous, when you pray for someone to get saved, and maybe you pray for years, and then they come to Christ, you can say, God, you heard little old me. My prayers, I called out, and you answered in great power. These things are very, very helpful. So journal, index cards, a notebook, that's some old school. I'm going to give you a new school one. It's called Prayer Mate, okay? For those of you who love new tools, this is an absolutely free app. By the way, I get no sponsorship from them, okay? I feel like a YouTube influencer. I get no sponsor for this. This is an honest review. I typed in prayer apps and immediately got a huge amount of hits. This one was one that I read in an article, and I had never seen it before. I downloaded my phone, kind of toyed around with it a little bit. Now, I use what's known as OneNote. You can use a note-taking. Maybe you just have a note-taking app on your phone. You can just write prayer lists. Sometimes you have what's called Post-it notes. You can flip through those and put one as a family and all your family members, one as coworkers. One is people you want to see come to Jesus, you know, and you can just kind of flip through that on your phone. That's what I do because it's easy for me. It syncs both with my laptop and with my personal phone, and I've got my prayer list. I'm out walking the dog in the morning, and I've got my prayer list, and I can glance at it and say, you know, three names on the list, and I'll start praying. I need to glance at it again. I'll look at the next three names, and this becomes just an easy, powerful tool. This is very customizable, by the way. Maybe you'll find something even better. That's great. But the key is just spending time in prayer. And this can be a fun way because it also you can set it to where it names pop up on a rotation. So let's say you want to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, pray for certain things. You can set it to pop up on a rotation. So it can be very, very handy. They'll even give suggestions, like if you want to pray for the persecuted church, they might give you a suggestion of a place where you can find prayer requests for the persecuted church. But whatever you do, just spend time in prayer. Now, here's a real simple prayer plan. I've talked about it many times. Most of you, it's not going to be anything new. But I use the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. What am I talking about? Okay. This helps keep balance to your prayer life, and we want to keep balance. We don't want it to be where prayer means I'm telling God everything that I want. No. A prayer is about a conversation. It's about communion. It's about relationship building. So the first thing that I like to do is adoration. Now, in my phone, I have a list of the attributes of God. And on each day, I try to focus in on one attribute of God. And I say, God, I just want to praise you for this. And I try to think of all the ways in which I've seen that attribute. It might be God's being all-powerful. So I'm thinking, God, I thank you that I see your power in creation. I'm thankful that I see your power and how your providence, how you actually sustain all life on our planet. God, I'm thankful and for the power that you've shown it. I prayed for this request, and you answered that request. And I just spend time just praising God for who he is. And I think that's so important because that will reinforce your prayers, your prayer time throughout the rest of your prayers, because now you're praying God for who he is. You're discovering and being thankful for what God is. Confession, this is our time. Remember we talked about those hindrances, those roadblocks, those barriers, right? Obstacles. One of those was sin. Well, confession is just a time where we ask God to search our hearts and know us and see if there's anything in our hearts that are a barrier, an obstacle to our relationship. And say, God, would you show me anything that's being a barrier? Maybe God will bring a sin that you had committed the day before, or maybe an attitude that you're having, or maybe just a wrong thinking on a certain issue, and the Holy Spirit will begin to work, and you say, ah, Lord, I'm sorry, I wasn't very thankful yesterday. Lord, I got upset, and I spoke to this person ungraciously, and you can confess those things and say, God, please clear out any of those obstacles, because I want time with you. That's a very important part of it. Thanksgiving. This is just being thankful. Now, I'm telling you what, this sounds terrible, but sometimes when you, even though you spent time adoring God and praising him for his attributes, and even though you spent time confessing sin, we don't always stop and say what we're really thankful for. You know, this is a great time to do that. And sometimes we are thankful, but we don't stop and actually say we're thankful, right? You know, it's like the kids who come to the table and they eat the meal and they get up and they walk away, and then dad's like, hey, kids, your mom spent a lot of time making this supper. Oh, thanks, mom. You think, were they thankful? I'm sure they were enjoying the meal, but sometimes they don't always stop and say it. And I think when we looked at those passages earlier, it says with thanksgiving. It's reminding us that that has to be part of it. And then lastly, supplication. Supplication is asking for the needs of yourself and others. And so after spending time in these other things, then your heart is really ready to begin to ask God. What I found is once I adore God and once I do, like what I was going to pray about because I had fear in my heart, after spending time focusing on God, I'm like, you know what, Lord? That fear just went away. Some of those things get resolved. When you confess sin, some of the things, it's like, you know, Lord, I was going to pray that you would, you know, help that person stop being so mean. And it was during my confession time, it's like, no, I think you're the one who really needs confession. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. And some of these things get worked out. So when you go to supplication, it really refines what you pray about. And that's so important. So that is our prayer plan. You know what? I think I'm just going to end right there. This is a little shorter than normal. I'm probably going to shock a few people. But I think this is a good place to end. And I hope that just these simple tools will really get you excited. You can download PrayerMate even this afternoon. Begin to put some things in there. And you know what? Don't be afraid to start small. Don't be afraid to start small. Just start and start growing and building. You know, the truth is for a person who's never had a prayer list, never really focused in on prayer, if you start with just 5 minutes a day, that's something good. That's a growth step, and I want to encourage you. And hopefully you'll increase that, but you know what? You got to start somewhere. So start and begin to really spend time with God. I'm going to skip past a few things, and I want to just do one thing on live it out. The rest of my principles there have to do with the rest of my message, okay? But just something you can do this week, plan your prayer time, set aside a specific time, prepare with having good tools and having a heart that's ready, that's focused, okay? Sometimes I do a pre-prayer prayer. It's where I say, Lord, I got a lot of stuff on my mind today, just need you to begin to focus my heart on you. God, just protect me. Satan wants to get me distracted and discouraged, but God, I need to see you today. And that prayer of readiness, sometimes just quieting your mind for a few minutes. I'll just stop and say, okay. You know, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sometimes immediately my mind starts racing. And I say, nope. I don't want to give my flesh control of my mind. I want Christ to control my mind. So getting that focus, just saying, Lord, just bring me into your presence. Lord, just let me talk to you today. God, I just need to meet with you. And I think that's very, very helpful. And then protect it. That means you're going to have to say no to some things. And let me say this. do not let your phone dominate your morning. Because, you know, I've set on my phone, what is that called when it goes quiet? It won't beep or anything at you? No, not vibrate, huh? Yeah, the do not disturb feature. Maybe say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put the do not disturb feature not just for when I wake up, but for a full half an hour after I wake up, because that is my time just to talk to God. And I think that this is what I found. If I look at my phone the first thing in the morning, my mind just starts wandering. It might be, well, I have to just check that schedule, make sure that that's still on today. I've been waiting for that email. Don't do that. Especially if you do it in the morning. Now, if you do yours in the evening, you also need to set aside time. Don't try to pray while you're checking your email, while you're checking Facebook, when you're trying to watch something. No, just give God your undivided attention. It may mean you have to go alone by yourself. The nice thing is with fine weather like now, it may mean that you get to walk outside and just go sit in a chair in your backyard. Now, here's the thing is, I know with small kids, it's hard to get away to do anything because you have a constant companion or companions that are constantly, you know, like a growth on your hip. I get that. But I would talk to older ladies in our church who have done that. My wife can give some tips. And Charlene and some of these other godly ladies that have prayer lives, some of our deacons' wives, and some of them, they say, hey, I'm still learning how to do it myself. Do you have any good ideas? Share those ideas. If things work, share them. But I think as you do that, you'll be able to carve out a little bit of time. And just keep in mind, there's going to be those moments, like when you have a new baby and when sometimes like things like potty training and stuff like that, it can get real dicey. You can't say, now you just hold on for a minute. I'm almost done with my prayer time because they will not wait. They'll say, take as long as you need, Dad. You know, that's just how it works. So I get that. But here's the thing is learning how to carve out and discipline yourself in those times which are really tough. And finding the time means that when you do have more regulated schedule and stuff, you'll be more disciplined at it. And vice versa, if you establish a time when you're not so busy, you know, when you don't have just a brand new baby, when you're not in the middle of potty training, if you discipline yourself in those times, what you'll find is you'll still have some abilities to carve out time that you need because you've already developed a habit and you have this craving and this delight in prayer. You just tend to find the times. It gets harder, but you can do it. And so let's go to Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, as we have spent time just trying to find practical principles for disciplining and our minds and then delighting in prayer, God, we need both of those. God, it can't be just formulaic where we just do our Christian duty. We just do the Christian thing and spend time in prayer, but our heart's not in it. God, that's not what you want. You want time with us. You want heart to heart, real fellowship and communion. So God, we need that discipline, but we also need that delight. We need to have a heart that craves spending time with God. And with those two things, Lord, we can have a vibrant prayer life where we get to know you, God, and we see you do amazing things in our lives, and we see you answer prayer, and your name is glorified, and our faith is strengthened and deepened. So, God, help us to plan and prepare and protect that time with you, and we ask that you might do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here at Faith Baptist Church. Lord willing, next week we'll talk about what do you do when you don't feel like praying? And how to struggle through praying through difficult times. We're dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon.